Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
To the greatest show in sport.
The biggest football game in the history of Western civilization. What a ride it's been.
We are back with a Thursday edition of basically the playoff power rankings on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Bell, along with Peyton Russell. We got Carter Freeman in the back firing up the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Babe Laufenberg at 8:40 on DFW Sports Station, and more college football at 8:20 this morning. I think we just rip it out and fresh start. We don't need to know where the Cowboys are. We've all been missing work and stuff. I don't think we have ratings to keep up from last week.
I do have last week. So right, you want them. Peyton had Detroit 1.
But I can't even remember who played who now because of the holidays.
I know, right?
And everything. Bobby's usually good at keeping track. Detroit 1.
Detroit 1, Buffalo 2, Kansas City 3, Philadelphia 4, and Baltimore 5.
Dubs across the board.
5-0.
Wow.
Bobby had Buffalo 1, Detroit 2, Minnesota 3, Philadelphia 4, and he had the graciousness to put Kansas City in at 5.
Whoa!
Dubs and across the board.
And it cost him. Oh, no. Did Kansas City play and win?
Yeah, Kansas City beat Pittsburgh.
Christmas Day.
That's right. Okay, so
29-10, I think, something like that.
5-0.
I had Kansas City 1, Detroit 2, Buffalo 3, Minnesota 4, and Philadelphia 5.
Clean sweep.
Dubs.
Please don't let me get the one loss.
Well, you didn't.
You weren't here.
Oh, yes.
Dubs, John
did not.
So you got no victories, though.
Undefeated morning show, 15-0. G-bag, what? Give me a break. Give me a break. All right. So 5 through 1, 1 through 5. How do you think we should start?
I don't know. I think maybe 1 through 5. What do you think? 5 through 1?
There's intrigue either way.
Let's make it dramatic. 5 through 1.
5 through 1.
Let's go 5 through 1. I'm struggling. Is anyone else struggling with this or no?
Nope. I struggled a little bit, but you'll find out why.
All right, let's go 5.
Philadelphia. They embarrassed a Cowboy team. I think the Cowboys quit.
Wow, me and Bobby, I think, are looking at each other like a little low.
Oh, wait. No, never mind. 5. I was thinking we're going 1 through 5. I was like, did you just put Philly 1? Dear Lord. Okay.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I have
but, yeah,
5.
Either way, I'm opening my eyes to that, too. 5?
Yeah, but Saquon, is not going to get the record. But, you know, I think it's the right decision for the team. But, yeah, I have them at 5.
5, I have the Kansas City Chiefs. Because there's not a real reason to move. Look, when you get this end close to the end of the season, you start to figure out.
Have we ever had, think about this. And I don't disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Have we ever had a 15-1 team with the best player in the sport and the defending champion 4 or 5? Never happened.
No, I wouldn't guess so. I mean, did Green Bay ever have doubters when they were on their 15-1 streak?
New England would be the most recent, probably.
Mm. Yeah, because Green Bay won a title, went 15-1 the next year, and got bounced right as the playoffs began. They had Aaron Rodgers, who was the best player in the sport at the time.
So
maybe
McCarthy.
Maybe them, if people doubted them any. But, yeah, I've got Kansas City
here.
I don't
know how you would doubt them, though. Like, they were a juggernaut that year, were they not?
Yeah, until they had to play a playoff game. Yeah. But, yeah, no, Kansas City at 5. Again, you've got to start giving them credit at some point.
Peyton?
At number 5. The Minnesota Vikings. They're playing for the 1 seed. Very impressive win over Green Bay. And look, it was a 2-point win at the end, but they were up 17 in the third quarter. I mean, they dominated that game from mainly start to finish.
Super impressive.
I think Sam Darnold deserves a job next year, but I have the Vikings playing for the 1 seed this weekend at number 5.
So the Sam Darnold rumors that emerge, we have to have a rumor segment here on the show, but teams are going to be calling. I think Adam Schefter reported that teams are going to be calling about J.J. McCarthy and trying to figure out what it's going to take to get him.
So Minnesota's going to keep him.
Well, nothing final, but
I'm happy for Sam, man. That he went on a
like
a Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith like circle around the league.
What do you do if you're the Vikings? Like, I'm trying to think of offering Sam a really, really short-term deal. And if he doesn't take it, that gives me my out to move on to JJ. I can't give him a five-year deal unless I'm totally convinced. Like, Kevin O'Connell's like, no, he's absolutely the dude. Is three too long? Is two too insulting?
Well, let me ask you this.
Or are you just not trying to re-sign Sam at all? I think you got to re-sign Darnold.
What would somebody trade for him right now? Like, could you do a franchise tag and then trade him? Or the transition tag, whatever it is.
No, you would just... You'd franchise tag him, somebody would sign him, and you'd get the compensation back
right.
if you did
which the... Which is two ones?
Yes.
Would somebody give you two ones for Sam Darnold?
No.
A one and something.
Maybe.
Is that a hard line, two ones, or can you negotiate that?
I don't know if specifically within the rules you can do something to come to an agreement like that, but no, I think it's generally a... This is the way that it works.
Schefter said J.J. McCarthy would have been a top, if not the top quarterback in this draft. Teams would be calling Minnesota to inquire about him.
Yeah, he would go ahead of Shador and
I'll tell you this. If you're a team like the Raiders or that lost out on that pick, right, that you won a game and you drop back.
Giants. Giants could fall to like eighth, I think.
If you think that he is better than Shador and Cam Ward, then it's worth your trade.
Did Minnesota trade? Yeah, they traded up to get him. So they traded with the Jets. So who were they worried about? They were worried about, they must have been worried about Denver. And Denver's got Bo Nix now. Because I'm sitting here trying to think, who were you worried was going to take him that you could now trade him to?
Because the reports were that Peyton did like McCarthy.
Are you with me that you're trying to re-sign Darnold, or are you moving on to JJ? You got to make your call now.
Man, he played well in that system, man. I think I would stick with Darnold. Darnold, you got to look at two things. What was your evaluation on JJ? They obviously liked him a lot. You know, I maybe go back and see what your evaluation on Darnold would have been. I know it was a long time ago, but I mean, Sam Darnold was a very highly touted player too.
I would try to buy myself another year if I could somehow, but if I can't do that, if you're telling me no, it's long term.
Yeah, Darnold's agent saying we're not taking a 1 year deal.
I would franchise him.
Then yeah, I'm. Yeah, you either franchise him or if you're telling me like. It's got to be long-term, like, just for the sake of the exercise, I'm moving on from Darnold.
If you franchise him, you also, because it was Achilles, right, with McCarthy, or was it a knee?
It was Achilles, wasn't it? Or no, it was ACL.
So
that's the answer.
Right? You've got the first year after.
That's the answer. You franchise him.
Give him another year.
You franchise him. That's
which,
the answer.
Which we did find out, by the way, back in November, that J.J. McCarthy underwent a second knee surgery.
Franchise him. Give him another year. Give him a chance to, JJ, don't rush him back. Give him a chance to get help.
I just flip-flopped my five for this week's Power Rankings. I moved out the Baltimore Ravens, and I put the Minnesota Vikings in there. I almost bumped them out just because I was like, all right, if Minnesota and Baltimore faced each other. Now, I was on Minnesota early on this year. Mm-hmm. I did not keep them out. I've watched Darnold make enough big-time throws where I'm like, okay, this is not a fluke this season. But I would still trust probably Lamar over Sam. But then I'm like, Lamar playoff game. I'm going to have Minnesota at number five. Number four.
I have Minnesota at number four. I don't truly think they're necessarily a threat. I think they're the NFC's version of Pittsburgh. I don't think they're. If you were to ask me what teams can win the NFC, I don't think I would even. I think it's a two-horse race for me. But I mean, they've earned it, and the way Detroit's defense is hurt, would it stun me if they win this week? I mean, no. So I'll put Minnesota there at four.
Number four, the Philadelphia Eagles. This is a look. I think Philly's really good.
Who did you have five?
Kansas City.
Okay.
So I've got Kansas City and then Philadelphia. I think the Eagles are really good. I think defensively they're pretty terrifying. I wonder about when they have to throw the football, they don't seem to totally trust what Jalen Hurts is doing right now. And they have the most, arguably to me, they have the most combustible factor that exists within the NFL playoffs, which is just their culture and the way they interact with each other and how it can careen off the tracks at any moment and then jump right back on. And so too many variables there. They're still really, really good. If I trusted everything about that culture in that locker room, they'd have a really strong case to be near the top of the NFL.
Number four, the Kansas City Chiefs. Look, say what you want about, you know, how they've been overrated all year. They finally, on Christmas Day, they looked like a dominating team for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
Against Pittsburgh. And that's a, and say what you want about Pittsburgh being overrated, but that's, I mean, a 19-point road win is huge. And guys, that defense for the Chiefs is coming to life. They've been good for a little bit now.
Coming to life. They've been amazing all year.
Last year. Kansas City is four for me as well. This is when I finally be RJ Choppy from the regular season and say, now what's going to happen in the playoffs? And obviously, I need Kansas City to win my non-financial bet with Bobby to make the AFC Championship game. And now championship DNA going to kick in. This will settle an all-time great sports battle of team light switch or not, but I still will have the Chiefs at number four.
All right. Very good. I have number three of the Buffalo Bills.
Ooh.
They're near miss against the Patriots is haunting me. I'm getting some Texas Longhorn vibes from them. When they want to be, they are the best team. I don't know that they always want to be. And I do think that Sean McDermott is a bit of a, you know, he's not a plus. He's not a plus as a coach. So I got Buffalo at three.
Number three.
Why don't you like McDermott? Or love him?
I just think he's kind of a boob.
It was the 9/11 thing for you.
they play really hard for him, though. You know, and that matters. That's the standard. Do they play hard for you? And they do. Number three. Going to go with the Detroit Lions.
What?
I bumped the Lions down to three. Here's the thing. There are so many injuries there now that, especially defensively, you're starting to see them leak a lot. They're averaging, or they've given up over the last 5 weeks. You look, first several weeks of the season, they give up 20, 20, 13, 29, 9, 29, 14, 14, 23, 6, 6. That's the first 12 weeks of the season. They don't allow 30 points one time in the first 12 weeks of the season. Over the last 5 weeks, they're averaging allowing 30 points a game.
Purdy bludgeoned them.
Absolutely torched them. They got torched by the Bills. You had different points of the game where the Bears were able to move in both games. Bears were able to move the ball somewhat effectively on them. Green Bay moved the ball really effectively on them. I think once you start getting into these postseason games, you're starting to see they're so thin on personnel defensively. I don't know how much they can hold up. Now, I do think they have a dark horse NFL defensive player of the year in Kirby Joseph because the numbers are insane and it's ridiculous that he doesn't get the same sort of conversation.
I thought you were going to talk about their safety.
He is their safety. He's just the other safety.
Oh, the other safety.
You talk about Branch.
The other Branch is really good, too. Yeah, but Detroit, still really good. Just with all their health issues right now, I got them three.
And number three, I have the Philadelphia Eagles. It's hard to take away really anything from the last 2 weeks. They've been without Jalen Hurts for the majority of the part. I mean, they beat up on a bad Cowboys team last week, but when healthy, they're the biggest threat to Detroit in the NFC. So I have the Eagles at number three.
What a hot take. Me and Pepe are pretty similar. I'm going to go with the Eagles three as well. Number two, Ralph.
Number two, I have Detroit. And look, I am rooting hard for Detroit the playoffs. I really want them to go to the Super Bowl. I want Dan Campbell there. I love Detroit. I love the way they're playing. Their offense is as potent or more potent than anybody else. But Bobby's right. Their defense is in shambles. And it would not surprise me if they were one and done.
Woo!
Because of that.
Woo!
Number two, the Minnesota Vikings. I got Minnesota up here. They've started rallying a little bit. Some of their peripherals on defense weren't looking as great recently. They've kind of rallied on that point. And they are the quietest 14-2 in the history of the NFL, it feels like. And this is a team that, in their two losses, they lost the lead in the fourth quarter with 15 seconds left against Detroit, and they lost the lead in the fourth quarter against the Rams with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So these are two games where they were right there in it against two playoff teams and had the ability to pull it off and just fell short. And it's really hard to ding them for anything if your only excuse for it is just, well, the shoe's going to drop, right? They're going to come back down to earth at some point. So I got Minnesota, too.
And number two, I have the Buffalo Bills. I think the favorite in the AFC. They have the MVP, Josh Allen. And say what you want about Joe Burrow, Lamar being there. They've had a great season. I still think Allen is going to be at the top, should be at the top there. It's just their offense is so much fun to watch. They have so many weapons on that team. You know, they lose Stephon Diggs, but Josh Allen makes that offense look fun again. So I have the Bills at number two.
I have Buffalo at number two as well, and that means Detroit at one. I'm just going to trust the Lions' offense. You guys are absolutely right about the defense, but I'm going to go ahead and trust their offense as the most consistent thing in order to go ahead and win out. Buffalo 2, Lions 1 for me.
I have Kansas City 1, and I almost dropped them completely out of the rankings. All right. What a gutless football team. I don't want to hear about championship DNA. They don't have it. They have gutless DNA.
Oh!
They are going to sit Patrick Mahomes this week and play Carson Wentz against Denver, which is going to allow Denver to make the playoffs. And why are they doing this? Because they're scared of Cincinnati. They know the only team that can really beat them in Arrowhead is the Cincinnati Bengals. They're scared of Cincy. It's not championship DNA. They got gutless DNA.
Oh, my.
It's terrible.
Oh, my.
It's a joke. It's an affront. Roger Goodell should mandate that they play Patrick Mahomes. They're going to give him 3 weeks off. They're giving him three.
How dare
rusty.
They?
He's going to be rusty. He is going to be rusty. I hope they lose. I am on Team Bobby right now.
Maybe he'll actually play well.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like they've given him the whole season off. Number one for me is the Buffalo Bills. And so they took that spot a couple weeks ago, and I've just got them holding firm.
I'm with you, Sean. Detroit Lions, number one.
Hold up the engagement ring. Hold up the ring. Ring, bro. Right here. Power Rankings, Thursday edition, here on DFW Sports Station. Babe Laufenberg at 840. Forget about Ashton Jeanty. Is this the new running back that the Dallas Cowboys should target? Bob is about to get really, really ugly after what happened with the Longhorns yesterday. That's next on The Fan.
Third down, play action. Levitt looks, fires for the end zone. It's intercepted, picked off, intercepted. Andrew Mukuba, this ball game is over. Texas is going to the Final Four. The Longhorns win it in double overtime. 39-31.
An all-time classic yesterday. Hopefully you got to enjoy it on your day off. Longhorns Radio with the call, and they will move on to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Longhorn fans Bobby Belt and Peyton Russell here on DFW Sports Station. Of course, the targeting storyline has taken over the sports world. Let's go around the room and vote and see where you side on it. Did they get the call right? No targeting, not an automatic first down for Arizona State. Got to decide.
It's probably targeting the second quarter. I don't know that you can call it there.
Okay.
Right? I don't know that you can call it there. It's a minute to go. That would have ended the game, essentially, right? They would have been at, what, the 35-ish? Yeah. Had it been targeting 15 from the spot? It was at the 50.
Yeah, roughly around there.
So, I mean, that would have put them in field goal range. I don't know that you can do that. It was definitely helmet to helmet. It was probably a personal foul, right? Targeting, I don't know. I think it was. I also don't think you can call it there.
No, it was not targeting. And there was no intent. And if you want to take that play out of football, then just end football. So
that's end football?
Yep, end football if you're going to take that out. That was not a helmet to helmet. That was not a.
It was a helmet to helmet. It was a helmet to helmet.
Okay, Sean, helmets touching it does not necessarily mean like helmet to helmet is a like you are driving for it. It cannot be just
so.
Contact
so, the, so,
football,
so
every
so
play,
the guy knocked down on the ground means nothing.
Every play, helmets touch. That happens every play. That happens every play. So it should. If you want to do that, we're going to end the game of football.
If they had helmet to helmet personal foul in college, do you think that was that flag?
No.
No.
Nope.
It was nothing but helmet to helmet.
Nope, incidental. It's incidental, and it's not.
You know what?
With
you,
it.
You, and the rest of you, all y'all suck. You Longhorn fans, you suck.
Hey.
All you guys think you. Yesterday, thank you, Carter. I'm finally on your side. I'm not finally. I just had to be reminded of it. You arrogant, know-it-all football fans are so annoying yesterday on social media. You're not even willing to be like, oh, maybe we got away with one. This blind. Proud defense. If it was any other team or in any other jersey, you'd have a different opinion on it. But you're so defiant and your arrogance was reminded me of why people can't stand y'all. And I hope that the great Ryan Day, the lovable, likable Ryan Day in Ohio State, I pray, football pray, they don't have a letdown. Because you guys are running your mouth so much and you're beating your chest so much with Ohio State right around the corner. You're not smart enough or bright enough as Longhorn fans to go, oh, you know what? We probably got an ass-whipping coming around. Maybe we should tone it down a little bit. No. You try to walk around like Lyndon Johnson and and beat your chest nonstop as if you don't know who the next opponent is and what's coming. The attitude that y'all had on social media yesterday and talking about this instantly, you're so predictable. You're so snobbish.
And it's undeserved because they're the most underachieving.
You're the Cowboys.
They're the Dallas Cowboys,
and you act like you're something better.
They're the most underachieving program in college.
Dang, I can't stand y'all.
When you went to the Vandy Bama game,
yes.
How are the Bama fans? Like, what credit did they give to Vandy after the game?
A ton, and they were so nice. It disappointed me.
They got their ass beat.
I walked in the hotel trolling. Amanda got mad at me. She's like, "Keep your mouth shut. Stop." It was nothing but Bama fans, and they were like, "You know what? You guys deserved it. Vandy deserved it." And I was expecting that arrogance. I was expecting that cockiness, and I didn't get it
because they're a real blue blood.
Yeah,
they're a true.
Yeah, you guys act like Bama. Snobs.
True blue blood. God, I bet you guys. And that really upset me because that was my loss. That's a loss of that game.
You can't even sit in here and say you won't even give up the helmet-to-helmet thing. Like, it was just two helmets colliding.
Bama fans would be glazing Cam Scataboo this morning. All right? But Longhorn fans, they don't even respect the game he had.
Scatabum? No.
Yeah.
No. Don't at all. I want to go back to 2 hours and 23 minutes ago when Sean said, You're not even gonna get to me today because I already know what to expect. How you like that Aaron Rodgers hard count, Sean? he jumped like Sam Williams.
He jumped.
He's Shan Williams jumping off sides.
Pepe, what was it? What should the call have been?
Personal foul, 15 yards, first down. That's about it. The targeting thing, like, again, if they had called it at the time targeting and then they reviewed it, they probably would have stayed a personal foul. But you can't, I don't think you can go and review it with, and there's nothing, you haven't called anything, and they go, well, there's actually personal foul, it's still the flag. Like, the refs messed up by not calling it anything at the time of the play.
Yep.
So you can't do anything about it.
Once again, I totally agree with Peyton. They could have done something about it. They reviewed it. If you do look at the letter of the law, you can say no targeting. I just think, I don't know how live in person they did not call a personal foul for helmet to helmet. That's the real crime here. But helmet to helmet in college is not clearly defined here to mean that Arizona State got screwed. So I compared it to the Dez catch. Technically, I think that the Longhorn fans end up being right. It doesn't excuse your attitude and your cockiness, your undeserved arrogance over it. I hope you get stomped. I hope you get smashed. I'm going to be insufferable. How Bobby was yesterday, I'm going to be insufferable on social media when they take on the Buckeyes. But I do think technically you can get away with no targeting. Technically, you can even get away maybe with no personal foul. It was a personal foul. It should have been Arizona State first down. But technicalities like the Dez catch can send the Longhorns on.
It's true. God. And now it's, I mean, look, they're going to play an Ohio State team that is completely refocused. That Michigan loss was the best thing that happened to them.
Yeah, good football players on that team.
There's no
Cam Scataboos on that football
team. Let's talk about Scataboo.
All right, look.
Who I'm convinced is either out of shape or he was hungover.
Scataboo?
From the throwing up on the sideline.
It takes a lot to move those ankles. I mean, those things are thick.
What did you call him in the email? I LOL'd in my house, and I don't use LOL.
Grayson Allen with tree trunk legs and a bad barber.
Look, he has such a punchable face.
He does.
So does Pops.
And so does his dad. They look identical. They're
twins. You tweeted that out.
They don't need a DNA test there. But look, he was the first player.
Screw you, Larry Flores, listening. Screw you, Dave Wishnew. You haven't been texting me back. Screw your Longhorns, all of you. Who else is texting me?
He's the first player in football history, not college football history, NFL and college football history, to have 100 yards rushing, 75 yards receiving, a passing TD, and a two-point conversion. Like, okay. He had a hell of a game. And look, okay, look.
Two-point conversion makes sense. It was a two-yard run. That's all he picks up.
That makes sense. That's five one. Yards a carry.
I believe even Sean's noted on our text. The only reason that the fourth down toss to him was a touchdown was because he underthrew it and the receiver had to run back to the ball.
Oh, that pass was such BS. Absolutely. And he did his little slinging arrow. Yeah. Like, you underthrew him the wide out totally. And they didn't say that on the broadcast. Oh, no. They're too busy in ass-kissing phase because they had their new star, the CFP. Yeah. They didn't be like, no, actually, that was all the receiver. That was a totally underthrown ball. ball, but man, he did ball out in the second.
The only 2 yard.
He's not an NFL running back, but he's a great. He's a fantastic college.
He'll be a fullback. Right, he might be a full. He's a good player. Like you can't really. He had a great game.
Did make a Hunter Lipke comparison?
Yeah. The only 2 yard run that he couldn't pick up yesterday were the two where he was faced with 4th and 2, and he got stopped on both of them. That's why they went 4th and 2. We can't have him run the ball. Let's have him throw it. I'm so glad he got sent home. He has a punchable face.
He ran
everything
right
that he
into.
Said in the press conferences was ridiculous.
Did he have a good game?
He doesn't belong in the semis.
Seriously. Take your troll away.
He's kind of like the Bobby of the CFP.
Yeah. He had a scale of 1 to 10.
Face, attitude, likability.
He had a production game.
A scale of 1 to 10.
That if you look at the box score, it looks like he had this absurd, like just ran all over him day. Half of his runs went for 2 yards or less.
Was the catch OPI?
No, it was not Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders would go 1 yard, minus
OPI,
3.
That's why he had the reception.
It was DPI.
Too.
They called DPI on it.
But what was it? Should it have been?
To me, it's that gamesmanship because he slowed down, so the guy runs into him.
Well, he had to slow down, right, Bob? Could he speed up?
No. That's him.
I mean, he beat by 5 yards.
Do you love him? Do you like him?
I love him. I love him. I love how arrogant he is. I love how he's just like, because he's something that can only happen in college sports. He had
because he doesn't have the athleticism to do anything past college.
He had to go to Sacramento State. He had no offers. And then the only reason why he got to Arizona State is because Kenny Dillingham's high school coach was coaching in the FCS against Sacramento State and told him, dude, you got to get this kid.
Dillingham got an extension, by the way, before
5 years. And this is great because like if you're like one of those schools where you're not like a traditional power, and you land on a unicorn coach that views your job as the number one job in his life, that's the cheat code.
He's a douche. He wears visors backwards and flipped upside down and plays ultimate frisbee, and that's fine.
Hey, ultimate frisbee's fun.
I'm sure that plays with the sorority girls at Arizona State who look like the back end of a WNBA roster.
Dang!
Maybe Savannah, if you were working on your...
Arizona State is supposed to have the hottest girls in the country.
Arizona State 5 is a Friday 8. A Friday 8 is a... You can't talk about it like that. Arizona State 8 is really a Friday 5. That's what that is. So here's
Arizona State.
What's a Friday?
Like a Friday night 8, like if you're going out to the bars.
Oh.
The Arizona State is...
Arizona State has probably the best-looking women in the country.
Nope.
You need to go to
Michael
Tempe.
Bear said it best. I've seen the worst of the Texas fans tonight. Delusional, unwarranted arrogance. Josh Clark, I give you credit. I love Josh Clark. He said, Longhorn fan here, Bobby. I was shocked they didn't call targeting. OSU should be favored by a touchdown.
Pick me behavior, Josh.
But God,
Josh voted for Simone Biles as Athlete of the Year.
SI just named Simone Biles Athlete of the Year. What's the fan text saying? 877-881-1053.
Bobby's just mad because he's an ugly person. That's my guy Reed. Now Reed is like, he's the president of the Arizona State alumni chapter in DFW.
He's
a solid dude.
So wait, Reed went to Arizona State? Then he would know ugly. I'll accept it.
It's the one thing y'all know.
What about the call?
On the targeting?
Yeah, not targeting the women.
My wife wants to name our dog Scataboo.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's good. A lot of the fans.
Faster.
Look, it's
well, all dogs are faster.
A lot of the fans are saying it was a good call, but there's a lot of Texas fans on here too.
Okay, there it is. Little CFP recap, college football. You won.
I'm just thinking of Cam Scataboo's face. What a loser!
I can't wait till the Cowboys draft him.
What a loser! He's not going to get drafted here. He's not going to get drafted by anybody. He'll be undrafted, and he'll be this like, oh wow, look at this like. I mean, Mike McCarthy may not have a job next year, so I don't know where he's going to play fullback.
College football kicker
Kyle Juszczyk without
wait a
the
second.
Blocking.
Your boy literally uses a fullback.
Kyle Juszczyk without the blocking, and I don't know if the Arizona State girls are as crafty as Mrs. Juszczyk.
Babe Laufenberg joins us for the Cowboys' final game of the season. What does he think of Zeke leaving again? Laufenberg after this. And back with us now is Dallas Cowboys color analyst Babe Laufenberg. Pre-game on this radio station Sunday at 9 a.m. Kickoff at noon. Cowboys and the Commanders. And Babe, of course, will be on the call for us, the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. And of course, it's the Sean, RJ, and Bobby 840 appearance for maybe the final time in a while until we get further into the offseason. Good morning, Babe. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I know we do a regular Thursday hit, but I kind of wanted to do it yesterday so I could bring in my new year the right way, on a high.
Thank you. Are you a resolution guy?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Well, actually, I always say, yeah. I set my New Year's resolutions kind of low because I want to achieve them. So if I said, gosh, I'd love to become an astronaut and go to the moon, that's not going to happen. And then I failed. So I usually say I just want to eat a little more pizza and drink a little more wine this year.
There we go.
And usually I can achieve that.
Yeah. Excellent.
did you do laundry on New Year's Day? Because they say it's a bad luck thing.
Is it really? I did. Because I've been a little sick. My back is bad. So I really just watched football, hung around, but I did a little laundry. I did not. Why do you tell me that now? See, well, I knew I should have done
this. Wash away the good
yet.
Vibes. Wash away the New Year's vibes.
We got black eyed peas.
Yeah.
I think pig, scratch forward. Don't eat chicken, scratch backwards. My aunt was telling me
cabbage,
something about
you
that.
You want to eat cabbage for money or something like that?
Does the groundhog see his shadow? All that.
Yeah. You got a trivia question?
I do, but quickly, fortunately, I'm not superstitious, never been superstitious, so I'm good with that. Okay, you ready for this?
Yes.
I say, Jimmy Johnson used to always say, make your last game your best game, meaning just keep building on the season, make your last game your best game, and obviously they did that a couple times, beating Buffalo in the Super Bowl. Okay, Terry Bradshaw, Franco Harris, Hall of Famers, you guys know him, Peyton may not. They scored a rushing touchdown in the same game 11 times. Okay, that's rushing touchdown, same game 11 times. That's the second highest total for any pair of teammates in NFL history. Who has the most?
Staubach and Dorsett.
Good answer, but not correct, but that would be a good answer. Let me just say this. If Saquon stays long enough in Philadelphia, he and Hurts will have that.
Is it? Is it Derrick Henry or Lamar Jackson?
That's a great. And if they stay long enough, they may get there too, but no.
Riggins? Who was his quarterback, though?
Theismann.
Theismann and Riggins.
Theismann. No. Are we really going to have to go to Peyton?
Allen and Gus Frerotte.
guys, we're thinking too far back here. It's Dak and Zeke. Dak and Zeke.
Really?
Wow.
Right under our noses and topical.
Wow, very topical.
That was very good, babe.
Well done.
Well, let me see if Peyton knows how many times he did it.
Let's see. It wasn't 13, 14. I think it was 15. Is that right, babe? 15 times?
You're exactly right.
Wow.
He didn't even know what the Red Sea was, but he knows all babe's trivia questions.
John Paul II, but
there you go. That was very good. Who's Eisenhower, Peyton? Do you know who that is?
Babe, what did you make of the Zeke news?
It was kind of startling, if you will, last game of the season. And it was like, what? You know, but not to say that it shouldn't have happened. You know what's funny? This really should have happened when they suspended him. And I was surprised. At that point, I said, today it'll be a suspension. Tomorrow they're going to release him. And I was just, why would you bring him back at that point when all the things that were happening were happening? It's like, okay, what are you getting out of this? You know, the novelist Thomas Wolfe said, you can never go home. And I think that's true in so many aspects of life. And especially with that situation. Hey, Zeke, we all know. I mean, he was a great player. Not a good player. He was a great player. He was bumping up against a Hall of Fame player. But he wasn't that guy at this point. We all know that. And you can't go home and try to make it work again. And it was just I thought it was a weird, what's the word I'm looking for, relationship, if you will, from the start. Again, it's like bringing back your old girlfriend years later. Then you realized, oh, wait, okay, yeah, that's why we broke up in the first place. So, again, it didn't make sense. Training camp, if you recall, in training camp, they were saving him. And now Zeke is saying he didn't get a chance to compete. Again, then they suspended him. Should have been really, I mean, I would have released him at that point. And I'm not sure who, I'm sure there was some talk in the building. I'm sure some people wanted to say, hey, let's just cut our losses here, whatever you want to call it. But whoever prevailed, and it turned into what it did yesterday. And I can't see any team picking him up for a playoff run.
Where are you leaning on the return of Mike McCarthy?
Well, I leaned heavily at the start of the season and at the end of last season. Why are we even talking about this in terms of he's got to do this and this to get his job back? I mean, we all know 12-5, three consecutive years. No other team had done that. I understand the playoffs. He's only won one playoff game in his last seven seasons, by the way. So you got him in here to win playoff games, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. I think you can spin your wheels looking for that next guy that's going to be as good as Mike McCarthy. Now, that said, I don't like the notion of, well, who are you going to get? Who's going to be better than him? To me, your job as an organization is go find the next Sean McVay. Go find the next Kevin O'Connell. Find the next Matt LaFleur. That's your job. So I don't think you ever want to be in a position where you say, well, you know, gosh, who are we going to get? Who's going to be better? Well, there are guys out there. I couldn't tell you exactly who they are, but there are guys out there, and it's your job to go find one if you want to make that change. But again, I would not be in favor of letting him out. I think the big mistake was not extending him, putting everybody – all you had to do was extend him a year, right? So let's just say hypothetically you wanted to fire him after this season. You own for 1 year. Who cares? This is a billion-dollar organization.
Yeah, but what would it look crazier, extending him after the Green Bay loss or extending him after this season? They both appear and they both sound crazy.
Well, I wouldn't have said it was crazy last year. You could have. I think you could have said, "Look, we've been to the playoffs three consecutive years. We went 12-5. We had one bad game. That was an easy sell in my mind." There's always going to be, as you guys well know, a faction of Cowboy fans that no matter what you're doing or who you have, you know, they hate Dak, they hate McCarthy, there's always going to be that faction. But I would have, it's one thing to say, hey, totally believe in this guy, but yeah, we're going to put everybody on the last year of their contract. And again, didn't have to give him a new 5-year deal, but just extend him out a year. And if you fired him after this season, you know, you owe them for 1 year. You owe your staff for 1 year. Again, it's a billion-dollar organization.
Babe Loffenberg joining us here, 105 through the Fan. Do you think they would, because you mentioned you'll go find the next Sean McVay, find the next, you know, whoever. Do you think they would go and hire a coordinator who's never been a head coach of the NFL before?
I keep hearing that they won't do that. Why? Why wouldn't they?
Because Jerry did say like he didn't want to pay someone to learn on the job. He said that 2 years ago or whatever.
Well, all those guys I mentioned learned on the job, right? Sean McVay, Kevin O'Connell, Matt LaFleur, they all learned on the job. if you want to phrase it that way. So what do you want, a guy that the only guys that are going to be out there are the guys that somebody didn't want for
retread.
Whatever reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, that's not to say that they wouldn't be good coaches, right? You've seen people with second chances. Hey, they fired Andy Reid in Philadelphia. you know, that was after a long relationship, though. What was he there, 12 years or whatever? Mm-hmm. So, but still, I don't get the notion that it's got to be a guy with head coaching experience.
Is it possible, Babe, that the reason why they have that thought process of just it's got to be somebody with experience before – is it similar to their thought process historically with big school college football players? Like, I'm not going to take a chance that and be the one to find out if you can do it. I've found out I need to see that you've done it on a certain level, just like we need to see with big-time college players.
Yes, but I would say it's kind of apples and oranges because I know that there was a philosophy, which is a good one, by the way, taking guys that have been productive at the major level over a number of years. And when you look at the misses, Taco Charlton. Oh, gosh, who was the defensive tackle? Help
Tristan
me, guys.
Hill.
He was second round. Pardon me?
Tristan Hill, UCF.
Yeah, there we go, Tristan Hill. He wasn't even a starter for the team. So there's a lot of things to back that up in terms of when you go off of that big school productive, you better be really convinced that you've got DeMarcus Ware coming out of Troy. You know, that you've got this guy that he was there. DeMarcus Ware, just very quickly, he was a 190-pound wide receiver in high school. Uh-huh. So there was a reason why the big schools weren't recruiting him. But as far as that, the difference between getting that coach who's done it and the player who's done it. The player's never had the opportunity, right? When they took Zach Martin, Notre Dame, you know, 3-year starter, a lot of games under his belt, big school, all that. We didn't know for sure that he could do it, but that gives you a better chance at it. We've seen these other guys in action, right? And that's not to say that a coach is in the wrong position, wrong team, wrong organization. Like I would never anyone who was a head coach for the New York Jets, I would not say, well, look what happened with the Jets. It's like, well, you cannot overcome that organization. You can throw Carolina into that mix. You can't overcome the organization. So that's kind of where I am with that. I just don't think you need to have a guy who is a head coach. All these – Bill Belichick was a failure in Cleveland. I'll say failure. And had a rebirth, right, in New England. But it's fewer and far between where you see those guys.
Has McCarthy done a better job than Garrett?
As a head coach?
Yeah.
The record would say he has, but I honestly kind of can't get into comparing, you know, the two coaches and all. The record obviously says he has. The playoff has been similar, but, yeah, I mean, you go 12-5. Everybody says, and I think people get tired of it, it's hard to win games in the NFL. It's hard to win 12 games in the NFL. And it's really hard to do it 3 straight years. But then, you know, you can make an argument for or against, and I'm not going to, you know, die on that hill, as they say, to say he should be here or he should not. But they also, this year, they lost games by 25, 38, 28, 24, 34. Mm. And they were down by 22 in the fourth quarter to Baltimore.
Yeah.
So how do you put that up against 12-5, and I know injuries, I understand all that, but they were getting blown out historically, not just franchise historically, NFL historically. And again, they had to deal with a lot of injuries. You parallel a little bit in my mind, Cowboys to San Francisco, right? You keep looking at it saying, start of the season, I wonder if they'll get San Francisco in the playoffs, and obviously neither one of them are here. And San Francisco, their season started out in training camp. Their number one wide receiver, first round wide receiver, I should say, he gets shot. They have two prominent holdouts, Brandon Ayuk, he wants to be traded. Trent Williams stays out of camp. You know, 2 weeks ago, they had a player refuse to go into a game, refuse to play. and they've had obviously a ton of injuries. So, you know, sometimes it's just not your year. And that may have been the case for the Cowboys as well. What are we on, our seventh starting corner? So it's been a tough year.
Babe Loffenberg here on the Fan. We got about a minute. How much Trey Lance do we see on Sunday?
That's a good question. You know, I went back, looked at the Washington game, the first one, and he had one play, and it was for minus 3 yards. So all the talk we heard about whether they're going to have this package for Trey Lance, it's going to be a good one because they've been saving it. I would play him for sure. I think it's just going to confirm kind of what we know.
Yeah.
But I would get him in. There's no reason to not play him. You've seen Cooper Rush enough. This team isn't going anywhere. So I would see no reason not to play Trey Lance. But you'll have McCarthy tomorrow, right?
We will. 6:30.
I'm sure he'll answer it. He loves talking about team and personnel decisions.
Yeah. And we have loved talking to you throughout the entire year, man. Thank you so much for the entertainment. I think it's been our best season yet, and don't go too far.
It's been great. Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. And next time you do How Young Is Peyton, I want to be side by side with you.
Yes, there it is.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That means Babe Loffenberg in studio here on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Did Oregon actually save the CFP committee yesterday? RJ, back with a college football kegger next.
After we get you over to QC Kinetics, it's late to the new year. You're going to start the new year with the same old joint pain, losing sleep, not able to take those walks you want to go on. Yeah, even getting dressed hurts because you have so much joint pain. Knees, hips, back, shoulders, elbows, ankles, wherever it may be. Take action now. Get that pain relief you deserve in 2025. Call QC Kinetics and say goodbye to that shoulder pain.
9-7-2, 9-7-2, 86-10. They use the healing properties from your own body to attack the root cause of your pain, revitalizing your joints so you can move again. It's the future of medicine. I had right elbow, right shoulder, left elbow, left shoulder pain. They thought I could have used surgery, and they were like, QC Kinetics, like, you don't need it. You don't have a full tear, not a full rupture. You can deal without getting the surgery. Use our protocols. I did. Best decision I ever made. Two sessions, I was 100%. No pain, no surgery, no drugs, no steroids, no downtime, natural biologics. 972-972-8610. 972-972-8610. Dallas, Fort Worth, Plano, Grapevine, and now accepting appointments on Saturday. QC Kinetics, 972-972-8610.